want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning also, and want to continue to lift his name and calmly praise as we heard. I was blessed very much by many different parts of the service already this morning, every part of the service. And in our devotions this morning, Brother Will shared on being thankful for what we have that we often take for granted. And that is often being thankful is a very important part of our Christian life. There is nothing like a thankless Christian. Because once we get to that point, we are no longer Christian. But the fact is that when we there are so many things that we do take for granted that we need to be reminded of time and again. This morning, I'd like to good to be back home again and after being gone for a little bit, but. My mind was focused on what Jesus spoke to the people when he was here. One of my father-in-law's stories that he loved to say was that he liked to talk about humility a little bit. And he said he liked the story about this preacher that wanted to speak a sermon on humility. But he wanted to wait until there was a big enough crowd that was made it worthwhile. And sometimes we are a little bit that way. We want to do our best when the crowd is the largest. And he always got a little bit of a chuckle out of that. He loved good stories. And, I've grown in my appreciation for him in the last number of years, especially much. And one of the things that is so unusual, I don't know of anybody else that takes his prayers with him on a little flash drive, and he can plug it into a computer, and every day he scrolled down through that prayer. And anybody that met him that said, please pray for me, or that he knew about, he would add that name to that prayer list. And that prayer list had Johnny Miller preached the message, that's the funeral message there, and he said he counted, and there was 500 names on that list. Well, he carried that thing with him, and he'd put the computer in and type this big, because he couldn't read very well. I mean, he couldn't see very well, and so he could easily read that, and he would go down through that list every day. Brother Johnny Miller said that, if we would have 100 people and each of us would take that 5 names, we'd be doing the same as what he did there. So interesting how technology and fervent and prayer met at that point. Well, Jesus was a man that he didn't matter if the crowds were big or if the crowd was one. He always had gracious words. And one of the first things we read about Jesus' public life is that when he went to the synagogue to read, he stood up and it says, and the people wondered at the gracious words which he spoke. We have the Sermon on the Mount, and it talks about the multitudes being gathered together. And in the Sermon on the Mount, we have the Beatitudes coming first. Jesus' rules for Christian living and the attitudes that are there. It's a part of life. And he was speaking to his disciples there, if we read carefully, but the multitudes were present. And no doubt multitudes had heard them. But then we have the golden text of the scripture, which is in John 3:16, where it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many people were there that heard that? How many? Probably some of you Bible school students took the teachings of Christ this year. Hope you did. Maybe you had. I'm sure all the classes were excellent, but how many were there? How many know the story about this? How many were there? One that we know of, Nicodemus. He was there by himself when Jesus told him that the whole story of salvation encompassed in that one verse. When Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well, and he explained the source of living water, he said, "Whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life." Jesus was simply explaining to this probably wicked woman that if somebody takes his life and makes it a part of him, that he is going to be a source of blessing to others around, that satisfaction can be found and met. There was a time later when Jesus spoke the same words to a very large crowd shortly before his death. John 7, verse 37 and 38, it says, "In that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So Jesus said first that to one person, as far as we know. Then he said the same words later to a big crowd. We have the two walking the road to Emmaus that were met with Jesus unknowingly. And it says there that I just love that the term that they used, where they said, "Did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us and opened unto us the scripture on the way?" Jesus said he opened unto them all the things concerning himself and the prophets and so on. But it made for their hearts being burned and open toward his word. Jesus was a teacher that taught effectively both in crowds and on one-to-one. And it's in Jesus that we get our comfort when things are changing, when there's disappointments in life, when there is so many things uncertain. We can look to Jesus as being the constant. He meets every need, whether it's one or whether it's a multitude. I'd like to invite your attention this morning to John chapter 14. The primary class used their memory verse was verse 6. And when we get to that, I'd like to ask the primary class to stand up and say that verse again. That's a very, very important verse. And we'll read that, we'll say that together. Verse 1, John 14. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Now, all the primary class, stand up, and let's say this together, okay? "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Okay, you can sit down again. "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye do know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long a time with you, and hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father which dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. I'm going to stop there and go back over this chapter, focusing especially on verse 6. Jesus, in the context of this scripture, and we often refer to this as a comfort scripture when there is a death, and especially as we've experienced in our family, and the Schrock family has experienced this, and there's others as well. We take comfort in the fact that our departed loved one is in our Father's house. When a life that glorifies Christ, when Jesus calls that person home, that he has a place prepared for him. That's what it says. And we can take comfort in that. And so with the sorrow and parting, there's also victory and of triumph in this. But here in verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He lists three things here that he says he is. And I'd like to just look at that. In Isaiah 35, very short chapter in Isaiah 35, there's 10 verses. I'd like to just read that entire chapter. The wilderness and solitary place shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, Be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitations of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I think this is such a beautiful picture of what Isaiah was speaking of, the coming of Christ, and how many ways we see that literally come to pass in Jesus' ministry. In our Sunday school lesson today, we see a lame man laid at the gate of the temple. We see Peter and John coming to him and stretching forth their hands and raising him up. And what was his response? He says he was walking and leaping and praising God. And they told him clearly that this is Jesus that has healed him. And what does it say here? In verse 6, it says, the lame man shall leap his own heart. Exactly. That's exactly what happened there. It came right there in his, just as it was said. It says, the parched ground shall become a pool, and thirsty land springs of water. Jesus spoke to the woman at the well. He spoke of water that would quench their thirst. He was speaking of water that was living and be satisfying. It speaks in this chapter of the eyes of the blind being opened. Did Jesus ever do that? Well, certainly he did. We have stories in Scripture that speak of that exactly. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. One of the things that I thought was so interesting in knowing a deaf person that could hear, I mean, reading about a deaf person that could hear, the fact that he never heard before made so that his brain didn't really understand the sounds that he was hearing. And so if he couldn't hear you speak, I mean, if he didn't see you speaking, he couldn't really understand what you were saying, even though he heard the sounds. But when Jesus was healed the deaf man, he didn't have to go to any rehabilitation and learn how to hear. The lame man that Peter and John healed, he didn't have to learn how to walk. He'd never walked. This man was lame from his mother's womb. The person that was blind, he could see, and his brain registered those things that he saw. Jesus was the way. He was the healer. And what does it mean when it says he's the way? I think if we would sing that song, Follow the Path of Jesus, it would give us a little bit of insight into what, a little extra insight into what it says. Let's sing that number 498 in the Christian hymnal. Matt, would you lead that for us, please, or Mark?
Jesus, our gracious has lead, keep in his beaming presence every counsel he. Watch while the hours are flying, ready some good to do. Wait while his voice is calling, yield obedience true. Cling to the hand of Jesus. Dark though the way and dreary, he will guide you right. Live for the good of others, help us oppressed and wrong. Lift them from depths of sorrow. Take up the cross of Jesus, sharing the shame he bore, self and the world denying, love the Savior more. Tell all the world of Jesus. Think of the gloom and love.
think it's so significant that he says to walk where his footsteps lead, keep in his beaming presence every counsel heed. You know, that's a high calling that we have there for that. One of the reasons that Jesus was able to comfort and be a comfort to his disciples right at this beautiful, at this time of life, Jesus, in John 13, we have Jesus washing his disciples' feet and then telling them that he is going to be suffering and giving them some commandments there, or some direction. Tells them that he is going to be going where they cannot follow, but they will follow later. And Peter says, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus said, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And we know the story there, how Peter did exactly that. Jesus was betrayed, he was denied, he suffered much. And yet, in John chapter, in the very next chapter there, he's giving comfort to his disciples, saying that you're going to be with me one day. In Hebrews 2, verse 17, it says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that might be a faithful, merciful, and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And Jesus knew the trials that we go through and that his people were going through, and was able to give perfect comfort. Hebrews 4, verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Hebrews 7, 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And again, these verses were a great confirmation to me to see that in Peter's life, we see Peter change from a man that denied Christ right at this chapter to a man that God used in a tremendous way. And in our Sunday school lesson today, used him to raise up that lame man from his bed and was able to praise God. Jesus still is able to save to the uttermost that come to God by him. And today we need that consolation that come to God by him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's focus a little bit on the truth. He is the way. I just think that scripture in Isaiah speaks of the highway and a way, speaking of Christ and how he was the way to walk, and following Christ is in the way. He is the truth. In John 1:17 it says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that he is the truth. And in John 8, verses 31 and 32, he said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, that's so much, we can trust our anchor in the word of God. That is an eternal word. That is something that does not change with society and the values and the things that change with time. God's word does not change, and if our life is anchored there, we can rest in following Christ and knowing the truth and being anchored there. He also says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He is the truth. He is the reality. He is the thing that matters. And when our life is grounded in that, we have an anchor that cannot be destroyed. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And again in John 1, verse 4, John is speaking of Christ. He says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Again, he's emphasizing the fact that in Jesus there is life. Jesus, in speaking to those at Lazarus' grave, and maybe to Martha in particular, said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And we can see that, and this is a comfort to those that die in the Lord, that know that it is only temporary separation, and that in Christ we can be raised again together in the newness of life and the second resurrection. Acts 5, verse 31, when his disciples were preaching there, it says, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only in Christ. And it's just that just becomes so clear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And as we are following him, as he becomes our guide and our hope, it becomes an anchor point for us there as well. And looking on to what Jesus said further, and the disciples were having some discussion as to how can we really know? And then he explained to them that he and the Father are one, and that if they know him, they know the Father, and so on. But in verse 12 it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. I think we see some of that in the miracle that was done in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Here we have the lame man healed that had lain for. Jesus did great miracles when he was here as well. But in every case, the miracle that he did was a temporary one. The feeding of the 5,000 was bread that was given to them that they became hungry again. And the walking on the water was there for a time. And raising Lazarus from the dead, Lazarus died again. So all of those miracles were a temporary thing. Whereas Jesus says that his disciples, those that carry his gospel, are going to do greater things, were things that were going to make a difference in their life, which made a difference in their eternal destiny. And of course, Christ was the one that did that, made that possible. And so Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. And that is, that is a tremendous statement when he says that. One of the books I'm listening to was interesting as far as history is concerned is the Wright brothers. They had invented the flyer, as many of you know, the airplane. And as they got this invention working, they couldn't interest the U.S. government in that very well. But they took it to France, and they got the government of France to be very, very interested in it. And so they spent quite a bit of their time over there flying. They would make these short flights, and Wilbur was the one that was over there. And any day that was nice, they would fly, and occasionally they would take somebody with them. There were a lot of dignitaries, princes and kings and so on, that would go over there and would see this airplane fly. And it was really, really something to see, of course. And then occasionally Wilbur would decide to, he would take someone with him. But he was the one that decided. Whatever criteria he decided, that was going to be. And there was a rich American businessman that went over there, and they told him, the Frenchman told him there, he says, Wilbur is the only one that decides who goes. And he said, well, I think that can be arranged, he said. And the Frenchman told him, he said, well, I'd like to be along when you arrange it. And so he had his meeting there, and he went back home without his airplane ride. They said Wilbur was one of the most unaffected people. He was not impressed with prestige or money or power. He was the one that decided who flew and who didn't. Well, that was a natural thing. But in many ways, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one that decides our fate. He's the one that decides us. And he has promised salvation for those that walk with him. And it's not a right. It's a gift. And as we live our life for him, we can be with him in eternity. Let's live our life for him. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.